are in Christ, but it's where we are. We are saved, we're forgiven, we have eternal life. Christ has taken us from the dustbin and he's placed us among the stars, as one of the choruses almost goes. We're going to think today of the fact that if you're like me, and all the fingers can point back if you like, you get these things, you hear it, but it's living it. You know, it's one thing to say, oh, I are in Christ, when we're meant to be in Christ. So there's an activity as well as a possession. There's a profession of those things. So God doesn't just say, you're really, really lovely. He says, be holy, for I am holy. And we say, can't do it, Lord. Take these chains. I could have done that one, couldn't I? Ray Charles. But I found that song, and I am so impressed with that style. I love that throaty singing and some really good words, wasn't it? I found it while I was checking what to have as a song. And you get the witness of the Holy Spirit, don't you, with things. And you know that as far as I'm concerned, when I do these talks over the next few weeks, there'll be a song that you can remember if you don't remember anything that's said. This morning, in Manchester somewhere, a vicar was celebrating, and his congregation celebrated 50 years in the same place. And he said, it would be something like this, it would be really sad to wake up in the morning and not know that the purpose of life is to love and to care and to reach out for people. Something like that, he said. It's true, isn't it? And it's very sad that if we wake up in the morning and all we think is negative, take that chain from me, Lord. Because chains, you know, we sing that song, set me free, set me free. And I think, why? Why are we still singing set me free? Are we not free indeed? And that's what the scripture says. If the Son has made you free, then you're free indeed. It's Galatians. So be free. And you say, maybe that's difficult. And today, talking about the chain breaker, I'd like us to, at least by the end, be free of some of the chains that do bind us still. Or thinking of another lesson that you're going to get later in February, the grave clothes that wrapped Lazarus when Jesus saved him, gave him life, he was still wrapped up in mummified clothing, wasn't he? How did he come out? The power of the word of Jesus brought him out. He didn't even walk out. He was brought out under the power of Jesus. And that's how we get saved. But then someone's got to get the grave clothes off. And that's the duty of all of us. So in that song it said, if you believe it, receive it and testify. And testifying of what Jesus has done for you is going to take grave clothes off others. It's going to get rid of the things that bind them. And of course, as a preacher, I have that privilege to say the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the good news to the poor, to preach release for the captives in particular, to proclaim release. And I'd like to do that today. And if you're not sure what we're talking about, every one of you, in some way or another, has probably seen a version of A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. You may have seen The Muppet Christmas Carol, or you may have seen Albert Finney, or you may have seen one of the others. I've forgotten the names of the main Scrooges. But in every single one, this character called Jacob Marley comes clunking in with chains all over him. And Scrooge says, what are these chains? And he says, these are the chains I forged in my life. And the whole point is his sins and his selfishness and the things he did were just binding him up. And that's true. But the worst chain, the biggest link in any chain for someone like Jacob Marley, someone who isn't a Christian, is the chain that holds them from believing in Jesus Christ, because he can set you free. And that chain link is broken, and therefore there's no more hold on you except the hold of Jesus. And any other hold that comes in is because we are weak, but he is strong, just a closer walk. But he can make us strong. So today I want to think about a number of things. First of all, God's call on us. And that call, which we heard last week so well, and I'm really sad that we didn't record it. It's didn't have the machine, but it was a message that people remember. But it's not just the call, it's the cost. So many Christians take the first step but don't want to count the cost. They don't want to actually give their lives to Jesus. And then there's commitment, that once you start on the path, you don't turn back. You keep on keeping on. And that's so important. And if I said to you that the reason you disobey Jesus is because Satan has got you, you would say, how dare you? Well, you might not. You might not. But you'd be entitled to, but that's true. The things that you think are your own ideas and you thinking things through, it's simple disobedience. Something is making you disobey the simple truths that Jesus has given you. That he says, well, what's your problem? I've made you free. Why are you not doing this? And the thing is, we've reforged links, or we've allowed new chains to connect us to the power of Satan, and he's got us. You can think of it any way you like a dog on a leash or a prisoner in chains. Well, that's what he does. He wants to do that. And Christians today, are we living in the freedom? Should we still be singing, set me free, set me free? What do we mean? For me, I mean, I want to be free of a body that's going to die, like Paul said, and put on the body that's from heaven, which will never die. So he says, I want to be free of this tent and put on the tent or tabernacle that God has prepared for me. My new body, if you like, my new appearance in Christ when I'm seeing him face to face, which we sang. Happy day, we'll see you face to face. So let's look at another scripture so that we strengthen this. It's in John's Gospel. We've already read that in Colossians 2, see that no one takes you captive. No one. And we can think about that because it's not just Satan. Satan uses other tricksy people. That's out of Lord of the Rings, isn't it? Gollum. Tricksy. Anyone seen that one? Because Gollum's a bit like someone who's full of chains. See that no one takes you captive. So in John and chapter 8 and verse 31... we read this. To the Jews who'd believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you're really my disciples. Really, really. Because I guess that's the word, isn't it? It's real freedom, real faith. Verse 32. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Well, they said, how dare you? We're Abraham's descendants. We've never been slaves of anyone. How can you say we should be set free? That is so weird, isn't it? That's what people say. They've been slaves in Babylon. They've been slaves to the Philistines, the Midianites, the Amalekites, Assyria, Egypt. They've been slaves most of their history. How dare they say that? But there we are. People do that. And you might be saying, I'm not a slave. Well, I'm only telling you what Jesus says. And he replied in verse 34, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So, if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And that's like the things we heard last week, where Jesus says something absolute. This is the fact. This is a fact. You are free indeed. So I ask myself, why have I not been free this week? Why have there been things, vestiges of chains that have made me think or behave wrongly? Because it's one thing for Jesus to tell me, you're really lovely. But am I lovely when I behave, the way I speak, my attitudes about other people, my dark times when I start moaning to God about things? Am I lovely? Am I like Christ? You are like Christ, says the word. So be like him. How can I? With the power of the Holy Spirit. God does not save someone without rebirthing them and giving them his Holy Spirit. So then you're born of God. You're born with a new DNA, a new way of living, a new surge that gives you understanding of God, understanding of the Bible, and the power to say no to ungodliness. And so the sin of unbelief, which is what Jesus particularly is talking about, is being slaves to unbelief, you could be free. And once you're free of unbelief and you come into obedience, a lot of the other things that get us seem to just slough away like a snake skin. That's not the best analogy. Like a spider skin. That's not nice either, but that's the sort of thing, isn't it, that these animals, they lose things, that they go away from them and they're brand new. So, is Brexit a chain for you? Are you so bothered about politics and what the world is doing that you can't free your mind just to trust what God is doing and say, in it all, as God has always said, and poor old Daniel, he nearly fainted with horror of what the world does. And in the end, God strengthened him because he said, the Most High is ruling in the kingdoms of men. It makes it difficult to know what to pray because it's no good praying against things if they're what God has ordained. You have to have great wisdom. And God says, if you're going to pray for authorities, then pray that they'll give you the opportunity to live your life in peace and freedom for the gospel. That's 1 Timothy 2. That's your privilege. But if we ask God to stop people doing things, well, maybe that's happening as he sets the scene for his return, as the scriptures teach, where people, rather than believe, would hide in rocks and let rocks fall on them. So rather than believe, you read Revelation. We see that, don't we? You may have friends and you've hoped that they'll believe, and they'd rather a rock fell on them than believe in Jesus. They're crazy, isn't it? But I was like that, albeit young. But there was also something seeking God. And God says, if you're looking for me, you're going to find me. I'm not going to let you go. I'm looking for those who are looking for me. And you look in here and we see so many empty seats and there's so many. Stop and think, how many people have you tried in one way or another to get to come to know about Jesus? Just think of a few in your family that you've spoken to. If we added them up, you know, the 4 or 5 maybe or more, there'd be another 50, 60 people here, wouldn't there? Well, why don't they come? Because they've got chains of unbelief, chains that stop them. We hear people now say, oh, I'd love to be there on Sunday. The chains stop them. There's another chain that really stops us walking in this glorious freedom we have in Christ. And it's self, selfishness. Selfishness, in one way, is part of what God made us to be like, because it's survival. If you didn't run when something's falling down, if you don't run from it and think, oh, it's fine, you die, don't you? There's survival of the fittest. Survival is an important thing. And so self comes in. And when you get up in the morning, you look after yourself. Some of you men shave and wash. Ladies put on their new hair and so on and look after themselves. don't we? We look after ourselves. When we're ill, we see the doc and we take a few medicines and we rest and we do sensible things. That isn't really selfishness, is it? That's perhaps what Jesus said, that you know, love your neighbour as yourself. We do have to take care, you know, otherwise you get smelly and nasty and all that sort of thing if you don't look after yourself. But what I'm talking about is what sometimes is called egocentricity, where you can't see anything except in your own mind, in your own light, and your first letters and words are I this, I that. And the problem with selfishness is you're only thinking how things affect you, how things affect me. I'm not thinking, how can I honour that person? How can I honour what that person is doing? Because I want honour. I'm thinking about me, and I want God to be in me, and I want God to do this and God to do that. And we get so wrapped up in self. And the danger of knowing who I am in Christ is that might even make us more selfish and think it's just a private little life and God loves me and that's good enough. And not caring to nurture others and honour them. Honour one another, it says. It's such an important word. Honour your father and mother must be extended to everyone. And if you can't speak honourable words and think honourable things of others, then you are in trouble. And so am I if I'm like that. Think of others better than yourselves. If you can't do that, then you are chained by selfishness and you are chained by things that Satan has got into you that are preventing you being free. It doesn't matter how much you sing it or how much you pray it, he's got you. Because selfishness just can dominate. It's called a Jezebel spirit in Scripture. And the church in the book of Revelation that Jesus talks about says, you just let Jezebel run around free in your church. And he may not have been talking about any person, but an attitude of selfishness, looking after number one, not caring about others, not giving others honour. Only wanting to suck in appreciation and thanks and honour. And it's natural, but it's a chain. And if you truly want to be free, then that is a keynote to ask Jesus in his truth to set you free. And the truth will be, you're not as lovely as you think you are. That's what he'll tell you. He says, you're lovely because I've saved you. You're righteous. You're going to have eternal life, but look at what you're doing. It doesn't match what I've done for you. That's what he'll say. And unless you can face the truth, your lack of perhaps response to his call, your lack of willingness to count the cost and get on with it, your lack of willingness, my lack of willingness to be committed to him, there you go. That is the truth. God will reveal those things because you said, I want to be free. And if we don't take that and we say, oh, I'm not accepting that, I'm nice, I'm much nicer than everyone else, I serve the Lord really well, etc., etc., you're not going to get anywhere because that's not the point. We're not like Jesus. And he's the example. He said, you will know the truth. Well, he's the truth. So you get to know who Jesus is. It's not about doctrines. It's not about church denominations, it's not about singing the right songs or anything like that. It's about knowing him. And then the rest works. And he releases us from this chain of being selfish. There's an amazing story in the Old Testament. Well, it's not a story, it's a kind of social law. But it is accompanied with a little picture. Moses says, if you've got a slave, and he's a Jew, an Israelite, a Hebrew, and he's grown up with you, and he's got married, and he's got children, and they all belong to you, of course, after 7 years, he's got to go free. But he might want to say to you, I love you, my master, and I love my family. I don't want to be free. He would take his ear and stick it through the doorpost with a nail and then put an earring in it. And he was his master's forever. Now, if you look at that carefully, what we do as Christians is break from one slavery and choose another willingly. And if you choosing to be a slave of Jesus Christ, you're free, aren't you? Because you chose. If the life you're living at the moment is what you want and you chose it, you'll feel great, won't you? Because I chose this. I chose to be here today. I feel great. I'm free. I chose to do this. I chose to give this money. I chose to do this praying. I chose to do this in a meeting. I chose. Because it's for Jesus. I'm his slave. That's what the Apostle Paul said. Read Romans 1. He says, I am the willing slave of Jesus Christ. Forget about being an apostle. Forget about being anointed. Forget of all that stuff. I am a willing slave. A doulos. A doulos is a slave. With the earring. A willing slave. So, there we go. Chains to change. Now, I'm sure when we sing, set me free, we're not asking Jesus to set us free from his chains of love and chains of care, if you like. Like the song goes, you've really got a hold on me. I don't want the stronghold of Satan. I want the stronghold of Jesus in my life. And it's one or the other. You can't have both. And so when we get pulled back, when we're made to disobey, we're in the chains of the enemy and the chains of the world. I'll tell you something else that for all of us sitting here, standing here, is a chain that can get us again and again. We don't know the true way of blessing. Even here, I don't hear many people blessing other people. Because Jesus said, whom you bless, I will bless. It's a really powerful thing to go around blessing people. But why don't you do it? Because you want to be blessed. And we love it when people come round and bless us and pray for us and declare God's word in our lives and say, be free in the love of God and so on. But you're meant to do that. We're meant to overflow and bless others. Because Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And you don't believe that. I don't believe that. I have to refresh my mind on that every day. That it's not about what I get. It's not about the things I receive. It's the things I give that bring blessing. So the more I give out, the more time I give for Jesus, the more blessings. The more time and love I show for other people, the more blessings will be in my life. Because that's what Jesus said. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, quite frankly, when I get a nice present, I really feel lovely. I feel happy. Do you? Come on, do you? Oh, do you never get anything nice then? We do, don't we? There is a lovely feeling. That person loves me. They knew just what I wanted and found it and gave it to me. That is a blessing. Or someone comes to you and just says a little word and you think, oh, that was so helpful. And you feel so good. Well, you're meant to give that. You're meant to give because you get even more blessing when you give something. And I'm sure some of you love to give gifts to people. Do you? Because when you see the joy on the face, when you realise someone else is so happy with what you've done, said, given, you're blessed. Jesus tells the truth. And it's a chain we've got to break if we can't see that. Because really, if we're not wholehearted in our lives for Jesus, we can't expect these chairs to get filled up. When I was young, we were encouraged to go to church carrying a Bible and letting everybody know that we belong to Jesus. And so we were encouraged to give up Sundays. We did three things on a Sunday. I led a Sunday school back in my young married days. But my family, my mum and dad and so on, saw that Jesus meant more to me than anyone else. And that is sad for them, maybe, but it brought their salvation. There's a lady that Jenny was witnessing to in a shoe shop where she worked in Peterborough. Freeman Hardy and Willis, was it called? Yeah, was that the name? And this lady got saved. And then her husband started moaning and saying, well, it's all very well, but she loves Jesus more than me now. But he got saved. You see, God's way gets people saved. Our way, where we think the more we do for people, the more they're going to believe. It's not true. What they need is Jesus, and they need to respond to that song about the Saviour, the chain breaker, the way maker. And to get fresh in these truths that we've got, this power that could not only set me free, but set others free from chains that bind them. Since we have now been justified by Christ's blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? Hallelujah. This is Romans 5. For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? We have the life of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. We have the wisdom of Christ and the power. That's what the Bible says. And I'd love to see you and I in more of that, more of those things, more of Jesus. Not just saying it. Since we have so great a salvation, how shall we escape if we ignore it? There's no other way. God has given a door for us to go through. And that door is Jesus. And you either go through it or you don't. And maybe a fault with me, because I'm not an evangelist, is that if people say to me, don't want to go through, I say, well, it's your choice. I carry on being a friend, loving, caring, but I'm not going to force it. For me, the Lord God's got to do it. The Holy Spirit's got to shape that person till they run in through the door. I've seen that many times. I've seen God at work in people, and they don't say, oh, I got saved because of some preach. They got saved because God got hold of them and they could do no else. It's not magic. You're not going to get rid of the chains that we've talked about. You're not going to be a more successful Christian. I am not going to be more like Jesus simply by getting prayed for, which does me in, really, because I say come out and be prayed. There is a value in prayer, but it's not magic. There's obedience of faith. If you see there's something and you, well, we help each other get the grave clothes off. That's good. We share. We are partners in these things. I have authority sometimes to proclaim. But I'm doing that. I'm proclaiming release to the captives. That's what I'm doing today. Just that bit. I could have talked about recovery to the of sight spiritually for the blind, the deaf, hearing. But I've concentrated on this one thing. I'm proclaiming release to the captives. That's all I have to do. It's up to God. And God, I believe, sinks into my heart. I get bashed by this, and so do you. And you're going to go home and you either do something about it or not. When we worship, when we share bread and wine, either God is going to come in more power, more anointing as a Christian. You're going to find more ability to put him first, or you're going to just shut the door on him again. And the chains of Satan will pull you and he'll laugh. And that is terrible, isn't it? It was enough that he laughed in the face of Jesus when he was on the cross. Should we do things that Satan can get the laugh on Jesus? I don't think so. We don't want to do that, do we? But sometimes we just live lives where the things that are happening in the news that Jill mentioned, they crowd in on us and we lose sight. of God's ultimate and glorious plan to have you and me sons in glory. So are we truly willing to follow? If Jesus sent out a message today saying, the banquet's ready, come along, the feast is ready. You know the story, don't you? Someone said, I can't come. I've got some cows I've got to test out. I bought a field. Another one said, I've just got a wife. I can't come. Are you going to say that to Jesus today? If he just shouted out from heaven, said, hey, the banquet is ready, come on. You say, oh, no, no. Can you wait 5 minutes, Lord? But we do, don't we? How many times we have said, oh, Jesus, don't come back yet. I've got this to do and that to do. I really want this holiday. Surely heaven's a bigger holiday than anything on earth. And the marriage in heaven is bigger than any marriage on earth. But I do understand, and I know that Jesus understands these things. But it's worth a challenge, isn't it? It's worth a thought. That just where is our heart? Are we truly free? God bless you. Let's worship.